Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. This is Tom Harris, and welcome to episode 12 of Tom Harris USA. I went back and listened to some of my earlier episodes the other day, and that's always very interesting because when I'm putting these shows together, I'm not thinking, this is the best thing ever. It's just one guy in a room talking to himself. But I tell you, going back to the first few episodes of the show, it makes me feel a little bit embarrassed. I do hope that people, when they're trying out the show, will kind of go to the most recent ones and work their way backwards instead of going to episode one and trying to listen to from the beginning. It's not like it's a continuous narrative or anything. It's just what's going on in my life. This has been a pretty slow week, to be honest. This is not one of the weeks that a lot has been going on. There has been a lot of drama at work, and it's a natural consequence of the changes that are going on there. And I don't want to talk about my work too much because I went into, I think, too much detail last time. But there are still things going on. As of right now, I still have a position there. But there has been talk about the elimination of the corporate office altogether, and my future with the company is questioned just because the office is going away. So as a result of that, I had somebody ask me the other day, well, in a previous show, you had talked about joining a gym. Whatever happened with that? Well, what's happened with that is right about the time when I was going and checking out the gyms and seeing what each one had to offer, all this talk about closing the corporate office came up. So I've stopped looking for the moment. I do still want to join a gym, but the money question is always there. Do I want to start something like that? I'll end up, having to quit because of not having work, etc. So for the moment, I still haven't picked a gym. I did look at a couple others, the payment arrangements and so forth that they had were not optimal. So far, LA Fitness is the one that I have liked the most, as far as the club goes, and as far as the various payment options. But I've understood that you really have to play hardball with them because they are willing to come way down in price for the memberships, but you really have to push them. But for the moment, I've suspended my search for a gym, even though I need to do that. So there's a lot of uncertainty all around, and that is leaving me in a precarious position now, because I don't know what's going on. And it seems to me to be one of these periods of transition. And I've always had these in my adult life. These periods of transition happen about every 5 years. And everything seems so up in the air. From my personal life to my professional life to... it just seems like a lot of change going on. Well, change is a good thing. Who's to say things aren't going to end up better? Pete has tried to say, if I lose my job, I'll just find a better one. I mean, that's what happened last time. Yeah, I think he's right. He is sometimes very insightful. My last job was a job that I loved the job. I loved the people. Liked my bosses. It was interesting and it was kind of fun. But the payment was... The payment was crap. The benefits were not very good. And in the job I'm in now, I like the people well enough, I guess. And the work is okay. And the pay is pretty good. But overall, I don't think I have a lot of loyalty to this company. And the perks are good too, but it's not my favorite job that I've had. And if I lose it, then... Well, I'll be upset, of course, because, losing your job is upsetting, but it won't be the end of the world. It takes me 2 months to find a job, on average. I think the longest I've ever been unemployed when I've actually been looking for work has been, I think it was about 3 months. And that was many, many years ago, back in the 80s. So I'm not too concerned, even with the economy being what it is. People still need... accounts people. That's been what I've been doing for the last few years. And so I'm optimistic, But for the moment, I still have this position where I am, and hopefully that will last for a while longer, at least. But all sorts of drama going on at work. So that's pretty much what's going on personally. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you keep changing the theme song for your show? Well, I like variety. You know, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. I started out with the Crimson Twins at Rest as my main theme, and that's the one I'm using on this show. And then there's another Crimson Twins song that I have been using also. And I actually would like to get even more different themes in the mix. And I've been going through the Crimson Twins catalog and trying to figure out what else would be a good theme song. So, yeah, so look for future shows to have different theme songs yet. There's a number of sites out there also that do music for podcasters. So that's another thing that I am going to be looking for other theme songs. You know, I want to change it, mix it up, and keep it simple and not get overly fancy about it, but do have a variety of different sorts of theme songs. And it's one of those things that makes podcasting fun. And hopefully people will listen. I still have a very low listenership at this point. I'll be very frank about that. Not a lot of listeners. But, you know, I'm going to agree with what Chris Reardon has said a number of times to me, and that is, if one person is listening, then it makes it worth it. And I think Chris Reardon is the one person who's listening to my show. But, hey, you know, what do you do? So this is kind of a free-form show today. I didn't really have a topic picked out. I didn't really have a theme today. It's just sort of catching you up on what's going on with me. So there doesn't really need to be a topic, does there? It gets to be just like chit-chatting with a friend, and that's what I'd like this show to be. I'd like a few more friends to be listening, but hey, you know, that's how it goes. The last time I talked about psychic predictions, and I wanted to go into a little bit of detail why I care. And I may have mentioned this before, but back when I was a teenager, and this would have been in the 70s and the early 80s, my mother got involved in a group that was run by a television psychic. I forget her name. It was Elizabeth something. They actually were a cult of doomsayers. She, this so-called psychic Elizabeth, was predicting the Earth changes were coming, and that the only safe place in the country to be was, you know, somewhere in Arkansas. And she managed to convince a bunch of people to go up there and start their own little commune. And I know I talked about this before, but the only thing that I was able to to do to influence this whole process, these decisions were made without my input. Now, at the point when my mother got involved in this cult, I had just undergone a religious conversion, and I was involved in a fundamentalist Christian church. And the only input of mine that was accepted was my insistence that if she were to move to this commune, that I would not be accompanying her, and it doesn't matter whether I was underage or not. I just wasn't going to go. And so they found a place to live in a town a few miles away, and I still didn't. I didn't end up staying there very much. Mountain Home, Arkansas, is not what I would call a brilliant place to live, and especially not in 1980. And I don't think so now either. And I've never really liked it, you know, culturally. Certainly, it's the, you know, redneck South and the very racist people. I didn't find very welcoming at all. And it took a great many years of my mother living there before she was accepted by the local people. It did, you know, so it's not exactly the sort of place that I would want to live, and I have no idea why my mom would actually want to go back there. My mom did recently move back there, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about that. but I, anyway, I'm getting way off the subject here because I was talking about this cult. And this cult was one of the Earth Changes cults. And I touched on this in a previous episode, but back in the 70s, there a book was released, and I think it was about 1971, 1972 or something, in the height of the occult explosion, I guess you could call it, when people started to become very interested in psychic abilities, pyramid power, that sort of thing. There's a book called This is the Earthquake Generation. And the book basically predicted that 1978 was going to be the beginning of a 20-year period of incredible earthquakes, just more earthquakes than you'd ever seen before. And it was going to affect the tectonic plates of North America. And everything was going to shift, and California was going to sink into the ocean, and the Great Lakes were going to spill out of the basin where they are and into central Ohio, and Florida was going to sink into the ocean, and just a bunch of nonsense. And the thing that really strikes me about this stuff is that this nonsense is still being repeated today. This is how the psychics work. You know, they'll take these old books that are written by somebody, and then they'll just repeat this stuff ad nauseum, just over and over and over again. And so there are still people out there who believe in these earth changes. Now, they don't say that it's going to happen, you know, in the 20 years between 1978 and you know, 1998. But they're still making these exact same predictions 20 years later. Now, if they were really psychic, then they would know that these things weren't really going to happen. You know, it's just making money. They're trying to make money, and gullible people believe them. And a lot of people say, well, you know, what's the harm in that? Well, there's a lot of harm in that. A lot of harm in that. Because you have people who are uprooting their entire lives, uprooting their families, and moving to places like Mountain Home, Arkansas, in fear of these earth changes. And it's ridiculous. Now, there have always been religious cults. It's nothing new. And I don't differentiate in my own personal life between a religion and a religious cult. Because to me, they're exactly the same thing. It's all about controlling people. It's not about, you know, and it's not about helping people, certainly. It's about helping themselves and getting the, you know, selling books. And what the interesting thing, and going back for a second to this is the Earthquake Generation, the guy who wrote this book was not a scientist. He has no scientific qualifications of any kind whatsoever. His only qualification for writing this book is that he's a quote-unquote psychic archaeologist. Can you believe that people actually buy this crap? I can understand in 1973 or 1972 when this guy was writing his stuff. This was the era of Eric von Daniken, Chariots of the Gods, you know, that sort of thing. And that's a whole entire different kettle of bullshit. Because these are all people who have absolutely no scientific credentials coming in and making these scientific predictions, etc. The people who live their lives by this stuff, how pathetic is that? It's pretty darn pathetic. And the cults that have grown up around these various teachings, and you had, you know, people now who are, you know, the Earth Change cults and the end of days rapture people, you know, of evangelical Christianity. This is all the same thing. There's really no difference. The difference is whatever mythology you want to believe. And my mom got involved in this group, and they, you know, they preach, you know, past lives, and it's silliness that they're preaching. It's just, it's astounding to me. It's unbelievable how stupid people can be. Even people who are actually otherwise intelligent people who are educated, they still fall for this stuff. Like I said in, I think, episode 2, people want to believe in the extraordinary. And so when people give them the extraordinary to believe in, they fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. A lot of people who go to the Sylvia Brown shows and John Edwards talking, you know, speaking for dead people, etc. This isn't real. This is showbiz. This is not, you know, these people have no actual psychic abilities. They have no actual power of any kind, no insight. They're out to make a buck. So if you know anybody who's in one of these things, I would strongly suggest to you, if you know somebody who's into earth changes and thinks that California is going to drop off into the ocean, send them to somebody who actually knows something about the topic. They don't understand, you know, what a subduction zone is. They don't understand what plate tectonics are. And they also don't understand that plate tectonics doesn't work in the way that the psychics are predicting that they would work. I find it the same exact same thing for religion. It's all about controlling people, and it's all about trying to increase the power of the organization to which you belong, whether it's a psychic cult or whether it's an organized religion. It doesn't make any sense to me either way. I was part of this fundamentalist church for a number of years, and I saw the same things. And the leadership of the church didn't like it when I said, well, what's the difference between a cult and a religion? But the real answer to that is there isn't a difference. It's the same thing. Is that maybe the goals are different, maybe the teachings are certainly different, but it's just all about control and getting rich and so forth. One of the big things now with the psychic community, and it's been a big thing for a while, is the idea of past life readings. You pay a so-called psychic, you know, hundreds of dollars to have your past lives read, and they'll go through this list of all these people who you were back in the old days. It's all part of what I usually make fun of as being the Cleopatra syndrome. The idea that not only have you lived past lives, but you were somebody famous. And it's silly, of course. And the more you think about it, the more actual thought you put into it, the sillier it gets. Now, I don't think there's a lot of people anymore. It's become unfashionable to say, well, I was Napoleon, or I was Joan of Arc in my past life. Nowadays, people will usually say, well, I was a lieutenant in Napoleon's army, or I was Cleopatra's favorite slave. And it'll go like that. My mother believes that she was the slave to a Chinese empress. Now, some of the details that my mother claims to remember from this past life, you know, they don't match up with anything that actually happened in history. And looking at back in history, you know, the people, it's easy to disprove these things. Very, very easy to disprove. Because these things would, if important things, would be preserved in the historical record. But that's not all. I mean, even though I would like for reincarnation to be real, and it would be just, you know, wonderful to believe that I've lived before, it doesn't make sense mathematically. Because we have, in this today, over 6.5 billion people living on this planet. In 1950... not that long ago, relatively speaking, only, you know, not even 60 years ago, there were only 2 billion people. More people are alive today than have ever existed in the entirety of human history combined. So where's the room for reincarnation? There aren't enough people for people to have even lived one previous life, much less multiple previous lives, and much, much less somebody famous. It's ridiculous. And you know, mathematically, it doesn't add up. You can disprove reincarnation in a minute. Just look at the math. It's just, you know, but it's an ego thing. People don't like to think that they are so unimportant in the grand scheme of things that life could go on without them. And then when you get people who are saying, well, you know, I've lived past, not only have I lived past lives, but you were in my past life as well. You lived in my past life as well. Then it becomes even more ridiculous because the odds of that, you know, of course, you know, mathematically, it's impossible for everybody to have lived a past life. But also the chances of knowing somebody who you know now in a past life is so astronomical to be equally impossible. It's ridiculous. And so, like I said, reincarnation is one of those things that I would love to be real, but it just isn't, and it can't be. Now, you can make all sorts of, you know, jumping around and trying to explain it away and saying, well, what about other planets? What about animals or whatever? You know, I think most people who believe in reincarnation don't want to believe that they've had, you know, endless past lives of being an ant or being a worm. But, you know, I'm sure I'll catch some flack for saying this, but it's just one of these silly notions that needs to be discarded. You could also say, well, you know, your souls have fragmented, all, you know, and it's amazing to me how many of these people who believe in reincarnation believe in Adam and Eve. Wouldn't that mean that every single person, you know, if every single person was descended from two people, that they, you know, where did all these souls come from? And if there's constantly new souls being created, then obviously not every one of them has been reincarnated. It's just silly. There are plenty of people out there making lots and lots of money off these silly ideas. And it all boils down to the fact that people want to feel special. They want to think that they're something unique and interesting and special. Well, people are unique and interesting and special. You don't need past lives for that. You don't need to believe that you have psychic abilities for that. You know, you don't need that. Just live your life. Be who you are. That's what it's all about. Make the most of what you are in this life and what you have in this life, and help others and live a worthy life. That's what I'm saying. You know, there's no need for the fantasy. There's no need for it. There's certainly no need to make other people rich to tell you something about yourself that isn't true. You know, and even though a lot of people say, well, there's no harm, you know, people can spend their money on whatever the hell they want. I'm a firm believer in that, but at least spend it on something worthwhile. You know, don't spend it on something like a psychic or past life readings, or, you know, put it in the collection plate at church. You know, these things don't help you, and they only help people who would take advantage of you. And if you want to spend your money on getting your fortune read, or having your past lives read, or whatever, as long as you know it's not real, I don't care. When you start thinking that this has something to do with reality, that's kind of where I think it becomes unacceptable. Because these people are trying to get you to spend more money. It's not just a matter of getting your fortune read once or having your past lives read once. There's always an angle to get you to come back. So if you want to do it for entertainment reasons, fine. But if don't believe this crap, because it really it doesn't make any sense. Okay, so that's about enough of that. I can probably talk all day on psychics taking advantage of people. I've seen it. I've lived it. It's not pretty. So what else? We have a new venue for chatting. This podcast now has a Facebook group. It's called the Tom Harris USA Facebook Community. We're just starting out. There's just very few of us there. But if you are on Facebook, go looking for the Tom Harris USA Podcast Community, and feel free to join. Anyone can join. It's not moderated in any way. There will be a group discussion area if people want to talk about the shows. If you have questions or comments, you can leave them there. I have a Facebook. But if people add me on Facebook, I'm not going to add you to my friends unless I really know you. And I don't want to say that to be mean, and I'm not trying to exclude people. But everybody who is on my Facebook page are people who I've had either real life contact with and who I know in real life, relatives of mine, and that sort of thing, or fraternity brothers. You know, people who I went to school with and so forth. There are very few people on my friends list who I haven't gotten to know in person. So I'd rather you join the community than actually try to add me on Facebook as a friend first. If you are a regular listener and if you are a regular contributor and I actually talk with you in, you know, the forum and in the, you know, the Facebook group and so forth, then chances are over time I'll say, oh, well, I know this person, you know, well enough now to add them to my friends, and you know, let that be. I'll add people, you know, if I know who they are and know who they're about and so forth. I don't want total strangers adding me on Facebook. But I'm not against the idea of, if you want to email me on Facebook, I'll certainly respond. You know, and please join the community. So I have two Facebook communities now. One for the show, which is the Tom Harris USA Facebook community. And the other one is the Legion of Tom Harris's. And that was something that I started when I very first joined Facebook, and I noticed there's a ton of Tom Harris's on Facebook. It's a pretty common name. And, you know, Harris is something like the 7th most popular name in the UK and the 7th or the 12th most popular name in the US. So there's a lot of us out there. And so it's inevitable that there would be a good number of Tom Harris's out there. So if you know a Tom Harris and they're on Facebook, send them to the Legion of Tom Harris's page. It's just a giggle. It's just for fun. You know, it's not right now I think there's two of us there. it's just something I started for fun. And but yeah. So also the email, if you want to comment not on the Facebook page, it's harrispodcast@gmail.com. You can also contact me at tom@tomharrisusa.com. There will be content on the webpage soon. Right now, if you go to tomharrisusa.com, you will find a coming soon page. The coming soon page points to the Podbean page where the site is, where the show is hosted. So feel free to follow that. You can also comment on Podbean. And a few people have. So if you do feel like you need to comment and you're not on Facebook, you can either do it directly to me, or you can contact me through the Podbean comments. Now, the Podbean comments are moderated. It means I have to let the comment go through. Keep that in mind. If your comment doesn't appear immediately, it's because I need to read it before I post it. Now, chances are I'm going to post it. I'm not into censoring people, unless they're really abusive. Also, I've been adding the show to various new podcast directories, so hopefully we'll have some hits, you know, from those. I'm trying to get the membership up as best I can. Now, if I have people participating in the show, people emailing, people writing to me and commenting, it will make it easier for me to make a connection with you. Because right now it's just me alone talking in a room, and occasionally I'll get feedback from one of the regular listeners. And I don't have very many regular listeners. So I would like to hear what other people are up to, what other people think. So once again, it's harrispodcast@gmail.com is the main email that I check every day. Then there's tom@tomharrisusa.com. Or you can comment on Podbean. There's a myriad of ways to communicate with the show. Well, it looks like I'm just about out of time here. Thanks for joining it. And there's going to be a new show in about 4 days, so stay tuned. From Tom Harris at Tom Harris USA, have a great evening. Thank you.